So the tough news is the inventory is incredibly low here, whether you want to buy or rent, because so many people want to live here. Because of that lack of inventory for buyers and renters, it's expensive. And it's not just expensive in Denver. It's expensive north of Denver and south of Denver and east and west of Denver. And then you think, oh, I want to go live in, you know, I want to go live in Summit County, or I want to go live in Steamboat. All right, it's far, far more expensive there. You know, you can't buy a house for under $1 million in Summit County.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are today joined by the infamous Chris Lawhead, as we are every other week here on the Living in Denver podcast. And thanks, Chris. How you doing today? How's your week going?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing good. Couldn't be any better. Things are starting to shake up a little bit. You know, it's getting closer to that springtime. Lots more chatter going on out there in the market. And meanwhile, the mountains are getting slammed with snow. So much so that it makes it really hard for the day trips to go up there. I don't know, man. As you get older, I'm sure you've experienced it with kids and stuff. The risk reward of making that I-70 haul can be a little challenging when you throw little ones into the mix and you can't get out the door before 7 o'clock.
I mean, that's why we go Loveland, right?
Yeah.
So Loveland is the closest, you know, the first ski resort you hit when you're going up I-70.
Yeah.
And if you take Vail, like, don't get me wrong, I love Vail, but Vail's 80 miles down the road, which in I-70 terms could be 3 hours, right?
So, and a possible overnight hotel trip if the snow really hits you overnight like it did for us a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
So sweet. Well, I wanted to kind of broaden out a little bit. As you know, Chris is a mortgage broker. I'm in real estate agent, but we both talk to lots of people that want to move to Denver or have moved to Denver, are thinking about buying. And we get a lot of the same questions over and over again. And I just want to talk about our great city, why people live here. Chris is one of the rare natives. And I joke about that because I've literally met a handful of natives in my life being here. I've been here for 20 years. I'm from Chicago originally. And I mean, 90% of people that live here are not from here, right? Lots of people from the Midwest, West Coast, the South, like you name it, all over the world come here to Denver because it is just a phenomenal city. So, you know, with that being said, what would you say, Chris? You know, we're a really popular city. We've been in the news. Us, Seattle, places like San Francisco have just been booming over the last 20 years approximately. Why? Like, why do you think overall the big picture is, what's the draw to Denver in your opinion?
Sunshine, skiing, the mountains, the economy, the recreation, the health, the healthy lifestyle. You know, the joke is you can go snowboarding in the morning and play golf, you know, in the afternoon. Sure. Now that's not always possible, but that is possible. Like, I've done that, right?
Yeah.
It's a great place to live, right? People are generally casual. You know, we call it Colorado casual. Nobody, not everybody's walking around in 3-piece suits. And, it's a, you know, if you like doing stuff outdoors, it's a great place. There's a lot to like, and I don't blame anybody for moving here. Right. You know, there's plenty of natives who, you know, have the get off my lawn mentality. We're full, go home. But can you, you know, if I was in, you know, listen, I've been to Cleveland. I had a great time in Cleveland, right? But yeah. If I lived in Cleveland and I was mobile and I was driving through Denver and hung out in Denver for a week, I'd probably move here, right? And that's no knock on Cleveland. They've got some great stuff going on there. But that's true for a lot of cities. Mm-hmm. So, and the secret's out, right? Growing up, this, you know, everybody thought, it just snowed here all the time. And you were digging your car out of, 10 feet of snow every day. Actually, there's a lot of sun here. And like I said, the secret's out. It's a great place to live.
Yeah, 100 100%. And like I said, I'm from Chicago myself. And it's funny you should say, you know, if you were from Cleveland and you were here for a week, I was literally on my way to California, Northern California area originally. And I stopped here. And yeah, it was about a week. And we went to Steamboat. And we came back to Nederland was the first town, right, that I went. I was going to a concert at Red Rocks. And I saw Red Rocks, and I was like, what is this? Like, I can just remember pulling into town thinking, like, once I got into Colorado from the east, I was like, okay, where's the mountains? These things are going to be huge. Like, what's – and I was like, we drove for hours before we saw the mountains. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, it was so bizarre to me. I just expected it to be massively different than what it actually was. And then of course we went to Red Rocks and I was like, oh my God, what is this place? And then went to Nederland, which is a little town outside of Boulder. If for those of you who don't know, super hip back in the day. It's definitely transformed like all foothills towns have. Went to Steamboat and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This state just keeps going for hours every direction. Like, this is unbelievable. And then ended up staying here. Like, and the rest is history. Like, it just, there was no need to want to keep going west to find out what there was, because I knew what was here, and it was pretty remarkable. And I know a lot of people who have a very similar story. So you went, and how long did you live in Cleveland for?
No, I never lived in Cleveland.
Okay.
I just was visiting. So let's take your hometown, right? Chi-town. I mean, I remember my story with Chicago. We went to a bar, you know, the bar closed down. This is the middle of winter, and we got dropped off where at my friend's house where we were staying, and all the places looked the same.
Yeah.
And we were drunk and looking for our place, and it was so cold that I actually got concerned for our lives because we couldn't find the right house, and it was cold, like, you know, that wet Chicago off the lake, freezing cold.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't have that here, right? We'll get those Arctic blasts, but it's a dry cold, right? It doesn't have that moisture that cuts through you. So,
yeah.
And I could say that, you know, when I was a musician, I did tours all around the country. You know, listen, but let's put it this way. I got out of Littleton, where I grew up. We called it Little Fun.
Yep.
Went all around the world expecting to find a way cooler place to live. And now I live 10 minutes from the house I grew up in. Put it that way.
Yeah, I hear that as well. I think as you get older, you start to appreciate it. But I do worry for people who have been born here and raised here. Like, there's zero perspective. You know, like, you don't know what it's like to drive 8 hours in any direction and never see a hill. Like, you don't. I mean, from here to Pennsylvania, like, it is flat. You got a few hills in western, you know, Kentucky, whatever, or western Kansas. But, like, there's literally, quite literally nothing and a whole lot of land from here to Chicago. And then from Chicago all the way to, you know, the East Coast. So, I know we're extremely blessed here. And, as you said, the secret's out. So, to someone thinking of moving here, right? I've never been here, never spent much time here. Let's just say from Midwest somewhere, pick your city, Chicago, right? What would you tell them? What would you have them expect in comparison to maybe where they're coming from? And do you like the growth yourself, right? Versus, you know, the get off my lawn, stay out of Colorado group, which we all know is out there. And it can be really intimidating. And, you know, do you give them caution about anything before they move here? Like, someone wants to move here. What are you telling them to expect when they get here?
Yeah. So it's snowing right now. I'm looking out my window. It's snowing. Yeah. The first thing I would say is if it's snowing, you got to drive a little slower, right? And when you drive up, here's the grouchy old man coming out. If you drive up I-70 to go skiing and you drive crazy and you crash and you back up traffic, no one likes you, right? So the simple thing is you got to chill out on the snow. But the big thing, this is a wonderful place to live and people are nice here, right? And so Yeah, I get it. There's far more traffic. So locals are like, oh man, they keep coming in and it just gets more and more traffic. And I-70 didn't used to be like this, right? I used to be able to drive to Vail easily in 2 hours. Yeah. It was a non-issue, right? Those days are over. We used to drive to Winter Park, hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Those days are over. So yeah, I don't like the traffic, but I also can't knock anybody for moving here. So it's sunnier than you think. You do got to chill out when you're driving in the snow. People are really nice. It's expensive, right? It's expensive relative to a lot of parts in the country. That is a turnoff. You know, it's a healthy place. That's another thing. It's a healthy place. I mean, just walk around Chicago and walk around Denver and just the size of the human, right?
Yep.
So here, you know, you do a lot of activities here because there's plenty of sunshine and plenty of cool stuff to do.
Yep. And so on note, activity wise, like, I mean, for someone who doesn't know, and I think it can be a little daunting, to really think about it, like rattle them off, like within 2 hours of Denver, right? What are the majority of people doing activity wise?
Sure. Within 2 hours of Denver or even 30 minutes worth of Denver, we've got hiking, biking, river running, river surfing, dirt biking, ATV, skiing, snowboarding, fishing, you know, and I joke, if I could, listen, I'm a professional recreator, right?
Yep.
I grew up recreating. So if I could make a living at recreating, if there was money in it, I'd be a billionaire, right? So I like all those things. And then just in Denver proper, you know, there's, you know, skateboarding and one wheel groups and, you know, every type of biking you could imagine. I mean, we used to do this bike tour where we congregate in this park and everybody would ride in circles in this park and they called the Circle of Death, right? And it's just a bunch of people partying, riding in circles and people are falling and crashing. It's, you know, it's just a lot of fun. There's great art here, you know, Santa Fe district. And that's just scratching the surface, right? All the subcultures are here just like any other major city, right? You know, I do jujitsu, tons of great jujitsu here. There's no shortage of ways to recreate and be healthy here. Yeah.
So someone that's wanting to come in, I think you bring up some phenomenal points. I mean, we're a huge Olympian attracting city, right?
There you go.
Elevation. Which, for those of you who don't know, elevation is for land, altitude is for planes, okay? There's two different things, but they're all used interchangeably. Our signs for cities don't say population, they say elevation. When you drive through the cities, that's how you know you're in Colorado, is when you're driving through the mountains and you come across Fair Play, elevation, you know, 8,400 feet, whatever it is. It was kind of a fun little difference that we have here. But, you know, when someone moves here, a lot of people move here solo, right? I talk to people all the time. I just moved to Colorado not knowing a single person. We're that sort of an attracting vibe, lifestyle, everything. Someone who did just move here, doesn't know a single person, best way to get out there and be a part of our lifestyle instead of being on a little island for yourself. Like, you've got your nephew moving here who's 20-something years old. What do you tell him to do to say, hey, you know, this is what you want to do in order to, you know, feel like a part of us? Like, where do they go?
Yeah. So the question is, what do you love, right? If you love art, you go First Friday Art Walk, Santa Fe Arts District, and you start meeting people. People are very approachable here.
Yeah.
You love jujitsu? You know, come to Easton, train. We've got, I don't know how many academies do we have, 7 or 8 now. You love skiing, there's, you hop on a Facebook group, you know, the Loveland Ski Group. There's buses that go up, you know, like the mini buses with that hold 20 people or the vans. There's a group for everybody who does everything, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an anime guy, but I promise you there's an anime club, you know, in every town in, you know, circulating Denver, you name it, we've got it. So what do you do? Well, what do you love? Because it exists here. Other than other than ocean surfing, right? We have some river waves mm-hmm. in the Platte, which I love. We've got some river waves in Colorado. We've got some river waves in Buena Vista and Salida mm-hmm. that are pretty sweet. We've got a river wave in, on the Colorado. If you're heading to Grand Junction, you're going to go through a little town called Glenwood Springs. And it's not a little town, actually, but they've got a big old wave in the Colorado. And, some of the stuff you got to be cautious with, right? Backcountry skiing is yeah. very dangerous here because of the hot, cold cycle. So the snow doesn't hold. So if you're backcountry skiing, you got to join that group. You got to get the beacon. You got to get the training. If you're going to, be a river surfer, again, join the group, get the training to leash or not leash. All those questions are going to come up. And here's the other cool thing. It's not an exclusive, at least in my humble opinion, maybe this is just what I attract, but there's not hyper exclusive clubs here, right? Yeah, you go to Breckenridge and there's I call it the dude bros, right? There's some locals in Breckenridge who'll give you a hard time. But it's not like going to a surf spot in California, right? Where you paddle out in the wrong spot in California, you might get beat up, right? I don't know of any of that here. You go to these river waves and everybody there will help you, right? Oh man, that board's too small for you. Try this one. Let's get you up. If you're not popping up, if you're not getting rides, they're going to help you. So it's a really friendly, welcoming, at least the folks I interact with are incredibly friendly and welcoming in all these awesome activities, come do jujitsu with us, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're going to get choked, but it's going to be fun.
But they'll be smiling about it at the same time. That's 100%. I mean, I am so with you on that as far as the acceptance of people. I mean, I can't tell you how many times while hiking, you end up striking up a conversation. I mean, hell, that's how I broke out. I kind of made a transition in life here from when I moved out here to then what is now my current life by climbing, right? I'd go to a climbing gym. I was surprised at how open people were. And then I find out literally 10 feet away, we have world-class climbers, like elite world-class number one and number two, climbing. His dad's the coach, and he's turning over and giving me pointers while I'm climbing 5'10s, 5'11s, and he's on 5'14 D's, which are they're not even holds, right. You got to be Spider-Man to, tackle sort of stuff. And, but on the caution level too, I totally agreed with you. I've had friends that have been stuck on 14ers. Right.
Yeah.
And gotten very scary, having very real come to Jesus moments. Our terrain is no joke. I extremely welcoming mountain biking groups. Right. All that. I've gotten into cold plunging in the last year and joining groups on that. And where do people go beyond, just their house and stuff? Literally every activity, there's going to be a Facebook specific post for our group for. In very niche areas like Golden, Colorado. I mean, Golden is one of the meccas of climbing, mountain biking in quite literally the world, right? Yep. Here at our back doors, and the amount of people who are willing to take you through the ropes on it is really awesome, right? And it's likely that you're here from out of state and you're going to find other people from the same town that you're in. Right, that you moved here from because of how many implants we have, which, in fact, we are the fastest growing city in population for 25 to 34 year olds. Okay.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, in the country, which probably means the world. So the single life, the active life, we are extremely conducive to that. And what would you give? So for that group of people moving here, that let's switch to the real estate game just a touch, someone wanting to buy or rent, even, because that's what you do for the most part, is you come here and you rent for 6 months a year before you look at buying, what advice would you give them, if they're looking to rent, if they're looking to buy in our current market conditions?
So the tough news is the inventory is incredibly low here. whether you want to buy or rent, because so many people want to live here. Because of that lack of inventory for buyers and renters, it's expensive. And it's not just expensive in Denver, it's expensive north of Denver and south of Denver and east and west of Denver. And then you think, oh, I want to go live in, you know, I want to go live in Summit County, or I want to go live in Steamboat. All right, it's far, far more expensive there. You know, you can't buy a house for under $1 million in Summit County. Yeah. Finding a place to rent is very, very challenging because of the short-term rentals. So, yeah, you got to have some money. And that's kind of the, you know, tough love of it.
Yeah.
Now people work these things out. They get roommates. They, you know, there's real estate investors who do room by room rentals. Mm-hmm. So you can be one of five people renting a room in a bigger house. But yeah, you gotta have money. And just to backtrack a second, you mentioned something that I think it's worth pointing out. I was just at the Breckenridge Brewery and there was a gal passed out on the ground there, and they called the paramedics and everything. Well, she came up from, where was it? Like Houston, somewhere, you know, low elevation, rolled up, three beers, at altitude, right? Or at elevation, and out cold, like paramedics, like the altitude is real. So you do need to acclimate to a degree. And you know, like you said, if you're charging these 14,000 foot mountains, you better be off that mountain by 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Because come 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the storms are coming, and the storms bring electrical storms like you've never seen, and you can get in big trouble. I mean, people die on these things. Yep. If you're backcountry skiing, the snow is different. Even if you're from, you know, let's say you're from Washington or Montana, the hot cold cycle because of the sun. So. Yeah, it's expensive and it's dangerous and it's awesome.
I think we see a lot more people that live in households together. I mean, by me, I have two rentals, one on either side of me. Mm-hmm. And it's multiple young kids in their mid-20s, right? And what I find, though, is what's interesting is that we don't have much of the ski bums here in Denver, right? Like they tend to stay up in the mountains, stay up in the foothills sort of thing, just cause it is a little bit of a haul. You can't be a ski bum, you know, with a 2-hour drive every day. And so, but the young people who are here, like the opportunities are pretty interesting. Like the tech that's here, the Denver Tech Center is a huge hub, for tech companies, and then all the companies that are moving here because of, well, multitude of reasons, but our taxes are so extremely low that when you crunch the numbers on things, you know, if you can afford, let's say, a $350,000 house in Chicago, Cook County, Illinois, some of the highest taxes in the country, don't know what your mortgage payment would be off the top of my head, but I can tell you that you can easily afford $500,000 to $550,000 here in the Denver market with the same exact monthly payment, except
that
your money is going towards the house instead of the taxes, right?
Huge point there, right? And so, yeah, it is, it's more expensive for maybe some folks from the Midwest. But yeah, when you come from those high tax environments, right? Mm-hmm. Illinois, mm-hmm. California, you can't, it's just a breath of fresh air when you get here, you know? And yes, property taxes have gone up, and a lot of locals have been bitching and moaning about the property taxes going up. But the values have gone up. The values have skyrocketed because so many people have moved here. So yeah, that's a good point. I mean, in that sense, it is quite affordable, especially if you're used to these crazy tax environments.
Yeah.
And then we would humbly ask you to not vote for additional taxes when you move here.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, we
remember why you left those high tax environments, especially when you go to vote.
Which then makes the attractiveness to out-of-country investors and out-of-state investors more appealing here. So the idea is that with this, you know, like Texas, you know, you can own a $400,000 house and pay $10,000 a year in taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Here, you own a $400,000 house, you're paying $2,000 or less per year in taxes. Like $2,000 would be on the high side too. But the idea is that because we're such an attractive state, we make most of our taxes up in which income taxes are still the same, you know, as everywhere else for the most part. Sales taxes are the same as most parts in the country. But because we have a heavy tourism industry, the people who live here are the ones who are paying for the infrastructure, right? And so we're extremely attractive to somebody out of state going, well, I'm just paying property taxes. I don't have to pay super high property taxes just to own a house there. And so it kind of stabilizes our market from outside big sources, which then, you know, we're an appreciation market, right? Which kind of leads into, you know, the next question, because this younger generation, like I know my wife's sister, who's several years younger than us, I mean, she paid off her college debt in like 4 years or something ridiculous. And we've noticed that a lot with the middle-aged millennials and younger is that they're pretty investment savvy, right? They're pretty money conscious. They remember the crash of 08, but they were still young. So they're really taking care of things. Opportunities to invest around the Denver market, whether that's Denver, whether that's north, whether that's south, like what do you see as a good opportunity for someone, whether they live here, whether they're looking, you know, to move here, as an opportunity that's going to be solid for the next 5, 10, 15 years around Denver?
Yeah. So you don't invest in Denver for cash flow, right? Those days are over, meaning cash on cash return. You're not going to go buy a deal and then get your 10% a year cash on cash return.
Yep.
The advantages, you know, the investment play in Denver and the Denver metro area, like you said, is an appreciation play. So you're investing for the appreciation of the asset. You're investing for the tax advantages. Now, I make no claim to be your tax advisor, but I'm betting if you talk to your CPA, they're probably going to mention some benefits to owning properties from a tax perspective. So you've got your tax write-offs, you've got your appreciation, you have the depreciation, which is again something that happens in your taxes. And then if you're, you know, if you're just buying a rental, maybe you have some cash on cash in the low single digits, 1 to 5%. 5% would be a great deal, right? Yeah. Now the young people that I'm seeing do really well on real estate investments right now are the ones who are thinking a little outside the box, right? They're doing the room by room rentals, right? Or they're just a single or a couple buying a house to live in, right? So at the bare minimum, in my humble opinion, you need to own your own house because you are going to be paying a mortgage, whether it's yours or your landlord's, right? That's just the rules, right? I didn't make these rules. That's just how it is. Now take that a step further. I think everybody should have a primary residence and one rental. I think that's a great fundamental real estate exposure. Now you want to make those rentals cash flow. You know, you're going to have to explore things other than your traditional, you know, year long lease with a traditional, you know, renter, which may, like I said, may cash flow 1% to 3% on average in this market. But what maybe you're looking at Section 8 tenants, maybe you're at short-term rentals, maybe you're looking at you know, renting to nurses, right? And nurses will do the 30-day plus rentals.
Yeah.
And then I've seen multiple clients do quite well with room by room, which is a new thing to me, right?
Yeah.
So they're buying 5, 6, 7 bedroom houses. They're putting another kitchen in, and they're renting to individuals. And the net is far beyond what you're going to get just renting to a single family.
Sure.
So those are the opportunities I'm seeing, and I'm seeing people execute on all those.
Interesting. So location-wise then, so someone moves here and they say, hey, Chris, you know, I've got a job, which we'll just go back to the job market for a second here. If you're a contractor, you can come here and make 6 digits within 2 weeks of putting an ad on Craigslist. Like, I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. $25 an hour to start is fairly common in most trades. We are extremely short on contractors, on trades, and people who know how to work. So if you're in that field and you're listening, by all means, there's work here. And literally, if you're debating it and you wonder about a job, reach out. I could make 2 phone calls and have you secured in some sort of position. Like, not joking whatsoever. It's that we're that short on good labor. In this entire market. But so a lot of people coming here have secured decent sized jobs, whether it's engineers in the tech space, you know, making $125,000 to $175,000 a year. And that is great. But then where, right? They want to look, everybody knows Denver, but Denver's a huge metro area, and Denver is like 1/5 of what makes up the Denver metro area. So someone moving here from out of town, big city, let's say, they're fine with, you know, whatever, just the prices in general. Where are you seeing those opportunities lie in the house hacking, whether that's duplexes, multifamily, or inexpensive condos? Like, where do you see someone being able to buy that would be a good investment for long term?
Yeah, great question. First, the optimist in me, and this is backed by things I've seen, I've been investing for 20 years. There's always an opportunity everywhere, but there's less, the number of opportunities is greatly diminished in certain spots because they're so appealing to live. So you mentioned Golden, right? Golden's an amazing town. You can hop in a river, you can go mountain biking. There's a college there. It's just an amazing place. And because everybody wants to live there, less opportunities, right? Yeah. Especially for new investors. That doesn't mean they don't pop up. They do pop up, but they'll be far less. You could go up the road north to Boulder. Boulder's an incredibly expensive place to be. I haven't seen any opportunities there in many, many years. But if you had boots on the ground, you could probably find something in Boulder. Now, let's get more realistic. Where are the opportunities where I'm seeing people do very well? Well, Aurora's one, right? Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, we've got Denver, and then we've got this E-470, C-470 loop. It's a big highway that goes around the Denver metro area, right? And so you have all your auxiliary markets or your suburbs. All of them offer that same exposure to, you know, access to the mountains, access to fun things to do in the sun, to, you know, river walks, to, you know, golf courses. So you can get a lot of the same amenities to a degree wherever you go. Now, obviously, if you're in Lakewood or Golden or Boulder, you're closer to the mountains. You're going to be in the mountains way sooner than if you're living in, you know, where I live in Centennial or over in Aurora. However, you know, if I want to go to the mountains, it takes me 30 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you live in Golden, it takes you 5 minutes. Okay, there's the differences. I'm seeing a lot of young people do pretty darn well in Aurora. Aurora is getting nicer and nicer and nicer. Mm-hmm. It used to have a kind of a bad name or a stigma to it. I think those days are gone. You know, so there's opportunities there. There's opportunities everywhere, but you also got to consider, you know, what your gig is, right? What your job is. Now, we've got the Denver Tech Center, a lot of tech jobs there, but there's a tremendous amount of tech opportunities if you head north. So between Denver and Fort Collins or Denver and Boulder, you know, Louisville, you know, there's a tremendous amount of tech startups and established behemoths in that space if you go north of Denver. Then you could go all the way south. You can go down to Castle Rock. We've got Colorado Springs. So there's opportunities in every direction. If I was a new person moving here, I'd be asking, okay, what can I afford, and what's the proximity to the fun stuff I want to do? Right? Because a lot of people move here for the fun stuff, right? So am I 30 minutes away from, you know, mountain biking and 30 minutes away from my job, and I can find something I can afford? Okay, that's a sweet spot right there. So yeah, that's my two.
I'm 100% with you. You know, there's places, depending on what you want. If you want a newer home, you know, and you want more open space, and you think the city is just going to keep sprawling like it has the ability to do, Firestone, Tocono area, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a newer built home south of 500,000. That's what you want out of a 4-bedroom, 3-bath type of deal. You know, if you want to be close to the city, you just do East Colfax. And I know East Colfax has that name to it, but dang it, I sell a number of properties over on East Colfax area, and it's a straight shot down Colfax to get to downtown. South Aurora, Parker, like, I mean, yeah, we are surrounded, and I think you can find the fit depending on what you're looking for. Because yeah, it's in comparison to other big cities, like, you've lived here your whole life. We're not that big, right? So right. I can go from here. I'm in South Denver. Okay. Yale and I-25 right by the tech center. And I can drive to the other side of town, the other side of the whole metro area, 30 miles away, in 45 minutes with heavy traffic. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, just to give you reference, I worked 6.5 miles from where I lived. Not too far. That same drive would take me 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Twice a day. Yeah. And so it was brutal in comparison. Here, I'm like, whatever, this is nothing. When no traffic, it takes me 30 minutes for that same drive. With heavy traffic, it takes me 45. I got no issues with
it. Yeah, no toll, right? In Chicago, there's probably 10 toll booths you got to go between.
100%. You had to have change with you. I mean, heck, 10 years ago, when we went, 5 years when we went there last, like, we had to have cash on us. Like, they didn't have all the e-pass stuff everywhere. And so I was like, you got to be kidding me. Those tolls were supposed to be removed like back in the 80s or something like that. But they got addicted to the money and they haven't left yet. No tolls here. Very little tolls here. Like there's just a huge opportunity for us to expansively grow. I mean, if you drove 470 from the southern part of town all the way around to the airport, you might actually wonder why the hell there's a toll road here. Like, why is there a highway around here when 40% of it has houses on it? Like, you're going to be passing ranch land and stuff. And you're like, this is just the outer loop. Like, the people who built 470 are not dumb. Right. You know, they know in a handful of years, it's all going to be houses. Right. So awesome. So future outlook, we'll wrap it up with this. Where's Denver going in the next 10 to 20 years? Are you thinking about staying here? Or are you thinking about going to Central America?
Well, I've actually lived in Central America. I lived in Costa Rica.
Oh, awesome.
I love me some Central America. I mean, I love it here. I've got roots deep. And like I said, I went all around the world trying to find someplace better. And I ended up here. Maybe I move a little somewhere more rural in rural Colorado, you know, after raising a family. But I think the future is pretty bright because the fundamentals are here, right?
Yeah.
The sunshine, the economy, the infrastructure that is slowly but surely catching up to serve the millions of people that have moved here. Like you mentioned, the E-470, so that's part of the C-470 loop, but that's one of the little chunks of toll road we have. When you drive that road, there you see a tremendous amount of vacant land. Well, it's just filling up and filling up. I mean, my family, some of my family members lived in Elizabeth growing up.
Yeah.
And so we would drive from Littleton to Elizabeth and it was empty, right? Yeah. Parker was a little podunk town, little cowboy town. Now it's houses from my house to Elizabeth. And so all that is just going to grow, you know, north of there, tremendous amount of opportunity. And like I said, I think the future is bright. I'm biased. I'm also an optimist.
Yeah.
You know, so we hope the roads catch up. What I'd love to see if they could is just build another highway on top of I-70. So then we can just get to the ski resorts way faster.
I'm with you, buddy.
Or a monorail or something, man, because that I-70 on a weekend is brutal.
Yeah, 100% with you. Yeah. I'm in the same boat, man. I think, you know, coming from a different big city, like, which, by the way, there are cities in this country who have declining populations. And Chicago has had a declining population since the 90s. Like, unbelievable where we, you know, were multiple hundreds of percent up since, you know, let's say the 80s. There's a lot of reason to love Colorado. We've got water. I know we're dry, but we've got a lot of the water that supplies the West Coast. So if you're, you know, doom and gloomer, like, hey, there's something there. Zombie apocalypse hits, like, just go up to the mountains. Like, they'll freeze eventually, right? and so we have a lot. Within 20 minutes of downtown, I say this all the time, you can be in the middle of nowhere in 20 minutes from downtown at 2 a.m. driving. Just go east, right? And you're going to be in ranch land, farmland so fast, it's unbelievable. But our location-wise for logistics, as we ship more throughout this country, right? We are a central hub. So there's a lot to love about it. And then, of course, all the conspiracies about what's under DIA and, you know, the Cheyenne Mountain complex down south in the springs. Like, you know, there's probably a reason we're smack dab in the middle of the country. If, you know, the worst case scenario happens, it's going to take longer for nukes to hit us than just about anywhere else. Like, I feel pretty safe. being in Colorado, you know? But I think we're on an uptrend. I don't think that uptrend is going to stop anytime soon. I do worry in 10, 15, 20 years how you do break into the real estate market if you aren't currently in it, right? Do we price everybody out? So I do have some concerns there, you know, but if you can, if 45 minutes drive to Denver might become the norm in 20 years, right? And there might be opportunities to buy $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes further out from the city because we have the land to grow. And so that's why I just love it. I think the chips are stacked in our favor for a long haul here in Denver.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, people have compared Denver to, you know, the Seattles and San Franciscos, and we do have a, you know, there is a homeless problem in Denver to a degree, but nothing that is even close to San Francisco. Yeah. And what Denver doesn't have is they don't have an ocean, hard stop, right? So we can keep expanding east, and you could say, oh, the mountains, but the mountains aren't a hard stop because people develop in the mountains, people live there. So there isn't something that's, you know, the impenetrable wall of development that is an ocean. So we can keep developing east. I'm with you. I mean, it is harder and harder to get started here because of the prices. And, you know, real estate, in my humble opinion, is just like, you know, planting a tree. The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yeah.
It's the same with buying real estate. And, you know, you and I both agree, and we've talked about this, and everybody, every real estate professional that you talk to that's been in the game wished they bought more real estate earlier. Every single one, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm with you on all that, and it is an amazing place to live. And, you know, I'm not one of those local people that, you know, is just grouchy that everybody's moving here unless it's, you know, Saturday morning on I-70. Other than that, I'm like, welcome. I mean, well, I've enjoyed the growth, right?
Yeah.
I've helped a lot of people buy houses here as a lender. You've obviously helped a lot of people buy houses here as a real estate agent. It's a great place to live, and we know that. Yep.
100%. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Chris, once again. And folks, until the next time, happy housing.
Bye-bye.